Isaiah chapter 33. How awful it's going to be for you, you destroyer, who's never been destroyed yourself. How awful it will be for you, you betrayer, who have never been betrayed by anybody. When you finally finish destroying other people, you are going to be destroyed. And when you finish betraying others, you're going to be betrayed. So, there's a lot of people like that in the world who are not believers, who have never actually experienced the things which they try to do to other people. And yet, in their experience of condemnation at the last day, they're going to realize actually how the people felt whom they had been so horrible to. So, if you really value people and you're sensitive to how they might be feeling, you will not do to other people nasty things which have not yet been done to you. And yet, at the Day of Judgment, then, that's one of the reasons for a Day of Judgment, so that those who will be condemned will actually know what they did to others. That actually they will experience what they did to other people. O Yahweh, be gracious to us. We desire you. Be our strength every morning, and our salvation also in time of trouble. When your voice thunders, the people flee. When you are silent, the nations scatter. Your plunder is gathered, just like grasshoppers gather, just like locusts gather things. Yahweh is exalted, for he dwells on high, and has filled Zion with justice and righteousness. Well, I think that this is talking about what could have happened at the time of Hezekiah, when the angel went out and killed 185,000 Assyrian soldiers, and the people went out to plunder, that is to take their goods for themselves, because all the Assyrian soldiers who were left had run away. So God, Yahweh, could have been exalted, and Zion could have been filled with justice and righteousness. So some sort of restored kingdom could have happened at that time, but it didn't, because Hezekiah just took the attitude that, well, I've got another 15 years to live, I'm just going to enjoy myself, peace and truth will be in my days, and I don't really care about the future. So he just wanted it here and now, got friendly with the people from Babylon, boasted and showed off his wealth, and just lived the sad sort of materialistic life a lot of people live today. And so, ultimately, these words will come true, not then in Hezekiah, but in the last days, when Jesus is upon the earth, and he is the king, as Hezekiah ought to have been. Listen, the brave men are crying in the streets. Those who are messengers are weeping bitterly. Well, I think this is going back to the fact that the Egyptians were the ones that the men of Judah were going to get help, and Isaiah was saying, nope, you're not going to be helped by human strength, by apparently brave soldiers, by clever messengers going down to Egypt. That's not how it's going to be. Your only help is in God. And now he sees, as it were, a vision of these brave soldiers, apparently, crying in the streets, and the people who'd been trying to sneak off down to Egypt to make a deal with the Egyptians are now weeping bitterly. The travellers have quit the road. The enemy has broken his treaties, despising the witnesses, respecting nobody. They thought, ah, we've got an agreement from the Assyrians, that'll be good. But it was just words, and they didn't respect it. The land is mourning and wasting away. Lebanon is ashamed and withering. Sharon is now like a desert. Carmel and Bashan have shaken off their leaves. Now I will raise myself up, Yahweh has said. I will be lifted up. You have conceived grass, you will give birth to stubble. Your breath is a fire that will consume you. That's an interesting idea, that your breath is a fire that will consume you. Now, James says that it is your words that are like a fire that can burn you up. And Jesus said, by your words you'll be justified, by your words you'll be condemned. So you've got to be really careful with your words, because he says your breath is a fire that will consume you. So, our words come out of our heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And the real essence of being a believer, of being a Christian, is to be spiritually minded. And it's what you think which is so important. It's not a case of just externally saying certain things and going to church and that. It is really the question, who am I really and what do I really think about? Because in the end, your thoughts will come out in your words, and that's why words are so important to God. The people will be burnt up as if to ashes, like thorn bushes that are cut down. They'll be set ablaze. Those who are far away have heard what I have done, and those who are near will acknowledge my power. The sinners in Zion are terrified, and trembling grips them. Who among us can live with this consuming fire? Who among us can live with the flames that will destroy forever? The one who walks righteously and has spoken sincere words, who rejects bribes and refuses to be dishonest, who blocks his ears from hearing wicked things about other people and shuts his eyes from seeing evil, this is the one who will dwell upon Mount Zion. Your eyes will see the King in his beauty, and you will see the land that is far off. So, quite clearly then, there were in Jerusalem at the time and amongst the people of Israel those who were the sinners in Zion, and they were going to be destroyed. And eventually sin and sinful people will be destroyed. But those who speak sincerely and who shut their eyes from seeing evil and stop their ears from listening to bad things about others, they are going to see the King in his beauty. They're going to see the kingdom of God established upon the earth. And so we've got to consider whether this applies to us. We should be the ones who shut their eyes from seeing evil and stop their ears from hearing bad things. There's so much rubbish on screens. And it's not, well, it's on the screen, therefore it's okay to watch it. He who shuts his eyes against seeing evil. We shouldn't love those things. We shouldn't want to see those things. And those who do shut their eyes from seeing evil, what will their eyes see? Your eyes will see the King and his beauty. Your eyes will see the land, that's the kingdom that is far off. No longer will you see arrogant people, but instead you will look upon Zion, the city of our solemn feasts. Your eyes will see Jerusalem, an eternal habitation, a tent that will not be taken down, nor will any of its ropes be broken. So you see again, it's talking about what their eyes will see. The eyes that do not look at evil, that say, nope, I don't want to look at that, those eyes are the eyes who are going to see Jesus, who are going to see the kingdom of God established. For there, Yahweh, in all his glory, will be for us a source of broad streams where no galley with oars can ever go. For Yahweh is our judge, Yahweh is our lawgiver, he is our king, and it is he who will save us. And nobody living there will say, I am sick, for the people living there will be forgiven their iniquities. So then, this is the prospect in front of us, of a life with sin forgiven totally, with no more effects of the curse, with no more sickness, no more death, and seeing God himself. But that is, as I say, for the person who shuts their eyes at evil in this life. So what do you want to see with your eyes? You want to see the things of God's kingdom, you'll see them. If you want to look at the things of evil on your screens or whatever, well, that's what you want to see. So it depends what you really want, whether you want to be in God's kingdom or whether you want evil. And if we really want to be in God's kingdom, and that's what we want to see, well, we will be there. Although we're very weak and imperfect, all those that love his appearing, Paul says, will be accepted by him.